Well, good morning. We are in the book of Numbers. We'll be in chapter 17, the very end of 17, and we'll go into 18 today. If you remember, we've been talking about how Israel is traveling through the wilderness. The idea, the initial plan A was that they would go and they would enter the promised land, but a few chapters back, they get there and they say, I don't think I want to go in because there's lots of big people there and we're going to get spanked. And so they say, we're not going to follow God. We're going to rely on our own selves and we are going to stay out. And so they don't go in and God says, well, you don't want to go in, then you're not going to go in at all. None of your, those of you who are alive except for Joshua and Caleb were the two men who said, we could take this. God is with us. Except for those two men, the whole crowd, the whole bunch, 20 years and older, are going to die in the wilderness, and I'll bring in the new generation. And so we are in that middle ground between them refusing to go in and them actually being able to go in, and so they're kind of in the wilderness now. And because they've been disobedient, because they've not wanted to go in, they've had new people who've raised themselves up and said, I don't think Moses is doing a good job. And so a few weeks ago, we talked about Korah's rebellion. And then last week, we kind of finished up that story with the fact that they continue to rebel when God finally says enough's enough, and he starts killing them kind of one by one, if you will, in succession. And Aaron goes and intercedes for the people. And so God stops that because of Aaron's intercession. And so now the people are freaking out. Finally, they fear the Lord and say, maybe Moses was the right leader. Maybe Aaron is the right leader. And so I'm not going to do this rebellious thing anymore. Instead, I'm going to go ahead and be obedient to the Lord. So that's where we are. In chapter 17, the very end of 17, we'll pick up in 17, chapter verse 12, and we'll read through chapter 18. It says this, then the Israelites declared to Moses, look, we're perishing. We're lost. We're all lost. Anyone who comes near the Lord's tabernacle will die. We will all perish. Finally, they take the hint. Chapter 18 says this, then the Lord said to Aaron, you, your sons, and your ancestral house will be responsible for sin against the sanctuary. You and your sons will be responsible for sin involving your priesthood. Bring your relatives with you from the tribe of Levi, your ancestral tribe, so that they may join you and assist you and your sons in front of the tent of testimony, which is the tabernacle. They are to perform duties for you and for the whole tent. They must not come near the sanctuary equipment or the altar. Otherwise, both they and you will die. They are to join you and guard the tent of meeting, doing all the work at the tent, but no unauthorized person may come near you. You are to guard the sanctuary and the altar so that wrath may not fall on the Israelites again. Look, I have selected your fellow Levites from the Israelites as a gift for you, assigned by the Lord to work at the tent of meeting, but you and your sons will carry out your priestly responsibilities for everything concerning the altar and for what is inside the veil. And you will do that work. I am giving you the work of the priesthood as a gift. But an unauthorized person who comes near the sanctuary will be put to death. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, look, I've put you in charge of the contributions brought to me. As for all the holy offerings of the Israelites, I have given them to you and your sons as a portion and a permanent statute. A portion of the holiest offerings kept from the fire will be yours. Every one of their offerings that they give me, whether the grain offering, sin offering, or restitution offering, will be most holy for you and your sons. You are to eat it as a most holy offering. Every male may eat it. It is to be holy to you. The contribution of their gifts also belongs to you. I have given all the Israelites' presentation offerings to you and to your sons and daughters as a permanent statute. Every ceremonially clean person in your house may eat it. I am giving you all the best of the fresh olive oil, new wine, and grain, which the Israelites give to the Lord as their first fruits. The first fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to the Lord, belong to you. Every clean person in your house may eat them. Everything in Israel that is permanently dedicated to the Lord belongs to you. The firstborn of every living thing, man or animal, presented to the Lord belongs to you. But you must certainly redeem the firstborn of man and redeem the firstborn of an unclean animal. You will pay the redemption price for a month old male according to your assessment. 5 shekels of silver by the standard sanctuary shekel, which is 20 You must not redeem the firstborn of an ox, a sheep, or a goat. They are holy. You are to sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as a fire offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But their meat belongs to you. It belongs to you like the breast of the presentation offering and the right thigh. I give to you and to your sons and daughters all the holy contributions. The Lord told Aaron, you will not have an inheritance in their land. There will be no portion among them for you. I am your portion and your inheritance among the Israelites. Look, I have given the Levites every tenth in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work they do, the work of the tent of meeting. The Israelites must not again come near the tent of meeting, or they will incur guilt and die. The Levites will do the work of the tent of meeting, and they will bear the consequences of their sin. The Levites will not receive an inheritance among the Israelites. This is a permanent statute throughout your generations, for I have given them the tenth that the Israelites present to the Lord as a contribution for their inheritance. That is why I told them that they would not receive an inheritance among the Israelites. The Lord instructed Moses, speak to all the Levites and tell them, when you receive from the Israelites the tenth that I have given you as an inheritance, you must present part of it as an offering to the Lord, a tenth of the tenth. Your offering will be credited to you as if it were your grain from the threshing floor or the full harvest from the winepress. You are to present an offering to the Lord from every tenth you receive from the Israelites. Give some of it to Aaron the priest as an offering to the Lord. You must present the entire offering due to the Lord from all your gifts. The best part of the tenth is to be consecrated. Tell them further, once you have presented the best part of the tenth and it is credited to you, Levites, as the produce of the threshing floor or the winepress, then you and your household may eat it anywhere. It is your wage in return for the work at the tent of meeting. You will not incur guilt because of it once you have presented the best part of it, but you must not defile the Israelites' offerings so that you will not die. So there's a couple of things going on in this particular text. There's two kind of movements, if you will. Starts in chapter 17, goes through the first part of 18, and then there's the second instruction that God gives to Moses and to Aaron. The first issue has to deal with Israel, with Aaron and the priests protecting the house of the Lord. And so they are to protect the house. They are to protect the tabernacle. What's going on, if you remember, Israel freaks out because they're afraid that if anybody comes near the tabernacle, they will be killed. Because that's what's just happened in the previous episode. With Korah's rebellion, they came. came. They said, we're the leaders. We're just as holy. And God says, no, I've chosen my holy people. It is the Levites. It is the priesthood that falls under Aaron. And so anybody else is not to come to the tent and try to pass themselves off, as you, if you will, as priests or as holy ones. I have consecrated these people to do that, the Levites and the priesthood under Aaron. Anybody else is not supposed to be there. And so they are beginning to freak out and say, if we come close, God's going to kill us. And so God instructs Aaron. He says, I tell you what, you are going to do your job that I gave you before. He's just kind of reiterating the task that he had already given them. It is your responsibility to make sure that you do what I've told you to do, that you present the offerings, that you are there on behalf of the people. The Levites will serve under you. They will help you. But anybody who comes in who's not supposed to be there, they will die. And so God now says, and he puts the onus on Aaron, and he puts the onus on the Levites. If anybody comes, they will die, but not only them, but you will too. And so he's kind of upped the security, if you will. He's upped the ante, upped the odds, saying not only will the person who comes who's not consecrated, who's not supposed to approach the tent, who's not supposed to be there at the tabernacle, if anybody comes who's not supposed to be there, they will die like before, but you will too, because it's your job to protect it, make sure nobody comes in where they shouldn't be. And so God is declaring to all of Israel and to the priesthood and to the Levites, hey, you guys, your responsibility is being ratcheted up. No longer will I judge all of the congregation like he had done before, when the few people had come to the tent and had come unclean, being unclean and come and being people who shouldn't have been there. The whole congregation begins to die. He said, no longer will I do that, but those of you who are supposed to protect it, you will die. You have the responsibility of protecting this house. And so we think about that, and we wonder, how does that apply to us today? How do we as leaders, how do we as God's people, how are we supposed to protect the tabernacle? How are we supposed to protect his house? Well, it's not necessarily the building. Back then it was the building, but God transforms throughout his history. He transforms from the tabernacle, which is a movable tent, to the temple. To in the New Testament, we learn that no longer do we have to go to a place, but that the Holy Spirit resides in those who believe in him. That we are a temple is what the New Testament teaches us. That we are the house of God, and we've got to protect ourselves against those who are going to come after us. We've got to protect ourselves from the world. We've got to protect ourselves from society. We've got to protect the house. And so leaders, as leaders in the church, we are to protect the congregation. We see that in Scripture where Peter teaches in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 2 or 3, he begins to talk about how he is a fellow elder. And he instructs the other pastors, if you will. He says, shepherd the flock, overseeing them. So we are to oversee, to protect, to shepherd, to be there, be a someone who helps to guide the congregation as a whole. But also, on another level, you as a believer are to protect God's house itself. What are you putting into God's house? What are you, is that physical putting into God's house? What are you putting into God's house through your eyes, through your ears, through your mind? What are you consuming? Is it good and is it holy? We are to watch out for the house of God. In the book of 2 John, which is a very short letter, John is writing to them. He makes this statement in verse 10. He says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home and do not say welcome to him." In other words, if they don't come with the right teaching of God's word, if they come with some counterfeit or some false doctrine, you need to not allow them into your house. That means be careful what you allow, even if it's on quote-unquote Christian TV or Christian radio. There are a lot of people out there who teach false doctrine, who teach false teachings. And we are to guard ourselves from that. If you notice, if you know what's authentic, you change the channel, even if it's on a Christian station. Now, how do you know it's authentic? You've got to get in God's word. You've got to learn it. You've got to let it be part of who you are. Also, in 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, Paul's about to be executed. He says this to Timothy. He says, "Hold to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you." We be careful that you are being protected and that you are being someone who watches out and protects the house of God of false doctrine, of things that are not true about God's word. We've got to let God's word decide what God's word means, not society. We don't let culture tell us what God's word means. We don't let culture change God's word. God's word is God's word. And we've got to understand that. And we don't let society and culture redefine what is sin and what is not. So we got to protect the house. Protect yourself from what's wrong. Protect yourself from what is untrue. Protect yourself. And as a pastor, as leader, it's my job to make sure that you are getting proper doctrine. It's my job to make sure that you are getting proper teaching and make sure that you are watching out for yourselves and one another as well. So the first idea, the first statement, the first set of verses that we see there in chapter 18 have to do with making sure that God's temple, God's tabernacle is being protected. But much of chapter 18 actually has to do with something else. It has to do with what we call the tithe or the tenth. It has to do with being a giver. Now, God is speaking to, again, to Israel. He's speaking to a smaller group within Israel called the Levites, which is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And then even smaller within that, he's speaking to the priesthood, which is one of the family lines within the tribe of Israel, of Levi. And he's speaking to them about the tenth. He's speaking of them about what the tithe is. And much of chapter 18 is about the tithe. What is a tithe? In the Old Testament, you need to understand it's based on an agricultural culture, that everything was about growing or was about herding animals. You didn't go work at Walmart. You didn't go work at the factory. You were in what we call an agrarian society or agricultural-based society. And so how does one give what one has? One has produce or one has meat. One has animals, and that is the commodity that is exchanged instead of money like we have today. In today's world, we don't work for a dozen of eggs or for, a carton of milk. You work for a paycheck, and then you take that paycheck and you buy those other things. It almost created a middle ground system. Instead of one based on bartering, it's one based on currency. And so understand that when he talks about the tithe, he's going to talk in terms of the bartering system, if you will, or the currency of the time, which was the produce and which was the agricultural and ranching operations. So in verse 30 and 32 of Leviticus chapter 17, where we have a lot, 27, excuse me, where we have a lot of the teaching on the giving, we see this: every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man decides to redeem any part of the tenth, he must add a fifth to its value. Every tenth animal from the herd or flock which passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. And so God says, look, I've blessed you with everything. I've blessed you with produce. I've blessed you with fruit from the trees. I've blessed you with fruit in the plants. I've blessed you with that. I've blessed you with your herds being fertile and producing more and more. And so this is what I want from you. You give back to me one-tenth. You give back to me a tithe. You give back to me the tenth of what you get. And so how would they give that back to the Lord? They didn't just set it free. What they did is they brought it to the temple, or they brought it to the tabernacle, and they gave it to God by giving it to the tribe of Levi and giving it to the priest. And so God is going to talk about in these, remind them, if you will, in the major part of chapter 18 about how they are to give and how that giving is attributed to the Levites, but particularly within the Levites to the priest. Now, the priests were the ones who sacrificed the animals. The priests were the ones who did the grain offerings. The priests were the ones who did the drink offerings. And so what God said was this: when the nation of Israel comes and brings you various offerings, if family A would bring you an offering to be sacrificed on their behalf, you are to sacrifice it, but you take part of that for yourself. You take part of that as an offering to yourself. It's the way God took care of the Levites. It's the way God took care of the priesthood. Because he tells them explicitly, when you go into the land, you will not have an inheritance. What's he talking about? Why won't they get an inheritance? And what does he mean by this inheritance? When Israel was to go in the land, if you read the book of Joshua, you'll see that he will go in the land and that they will divide the land up by the 12 tribes, that they will give each tribe a certain portion of land. And instead of being divided 12 ways, it's only going to be divided 11 ways because the tribe of Levi will not have an ancestral land. They won't have a place that says, oh, all of this land belongs to the tribe of Eli. Instead, they will be scattered amongst all the people, and they will serve all the people on behalf of God. Now, if they don't have land to plant, they don't have land on which to have herds of cattle or goats or sheep. If they don't have that, how can they then give? And how can they then survive? Well, God said they will serve the people. And what will happen is, as the people give to God the tenth, they're going to give it to the tribe of Levi, and I will sustain the tribe of Levi. So when the people of Israel brought, when the other 11 tribes brought their tithe of produce or their tithe of grain or their tithe of the herd, that tithe was given to God, but God in turn gives it to the tribe of Levi to protect them or to sustain them and to take care of them. So in this section here in chapter 18, God talks about seven ways in which he's going to take care of not only the tribe of Levi, but within that tribe, specifically the family of Aaron and the priesthood. He says there's seven ways or seven things that the priest will get. They will get, number one, they will get a portion of the most holy sacrifices, meaning when someone comes to them and sacrifices to God, God says, you get a portion of it. You're going to get some of the meat. That when this is sacrificed and when this is put on the altar, you are to take some of it and you are to consume it as if it was your own. Second thing that they get is they get the dedicated portions of sacred gifts, such as the breast or the right thigh. So when they brought the animal and to sacrifice it, there were certain things that belonged to, that was given to the priesthood. The right thigh and the breast area. God liked brisket too, you know what I'm saying? So I always think about God liking barbecue because I like it. But anyway, so God says these portions of the animal are, you're going to get these every time. These are going to be how I sustain you, how I give you meat to be able to eat. When they bring these things, you get these portions specifically. The third thing, they get the first fruits of the offerings of the olive oil and the new wine and the grain. So when Israel comes and brings their first fruits, the priesthood were to get some of the first fruits of the oil, some of the first fruits of the new wine, some of the first fruits of the grain. Because remember, they don't have fields to cultivate. They don't have olive groves to be able to grow this in because they don't have a land of their own. Number four, every devoted thing to the Lord is for the priest. So God says, if it's consecrated to me, I'm giving it to you. Number five, the meat of the sacrificially clean firstborn animals. So every firstborn animal, if it was clean, it was to be sacrificed to God. And so clean animals such as the oxen or the sheep and the goats, those things which were considered clean to God, those things were belonging to the priesthood as well. Six, whatever is set aside for offering. So God says, if you set something aside as an offering and you bring it to me, I in turn will give it to the priest. And seventh, a tenth of the tithes received by the Levites. So remember, the Levites, they get the tithe. They get what Israel brings in. And the priest itself would get a tenth of that tithe. So the Levites, if you would, they would tithe to God as well, and they would give it to the priestly family. So God has this system of giving, and he still is someone who is heavy on giving. You see this throughout all of Scripture, the idea of being a giver. You see in the New Testament where Paul talks about being a cheerful giver, where Paul talks about, hey, I'm picking up this offering for the church in Jerusalem. Will you contribute to this? We see this over and over in his letters. We see God as a person is a giver. He gave his son so that we could have redemption. God talks over and over about giving. And he even corrects a lot of Israel's wrongful giving in the Old Testament. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, they've been doing some funky things with their giving. They've either not given to God or they've given him the worst of what they've got. They've given him the bad. They've given him the lame animal. They've given him the bad produce. They haven't given him the good stuff. And if we don't give, we are in the same situation as them. And you know what God calls them? He calls them people who have robbed him. Are you robbing God by not being someone who gives? Now, again, in our culture, it's different. We don't give a tithe of the produce and a tithe of our sheep and a tithe of those things because we are in a currency-based society. So we give a tithe of our paycheck. And we give it to God by giving it to the local church. And the local church uses it to pay salaries. They use it to take care of, in this case, would be like the priesthood family. They also use it to make sure that you have a place to worship. They use it for ministry, like taking care of youth events or children's events and things like that. But in Malachi chapter 3, where God calls them robbers, he says this, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do I rob you? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouses so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure." This is the only time that we're given permission to test God. And it has to do with giving. God says, try to outgive me. See if you can do it. When you bring and you have the right heart of a giver, not as in, hey, God, I'm going to give so you can give back to me. That's a wrong motive. But someone who says, God has so richly blessed me with everything, I can't wait to give back to him. When we give back to God, God blesses us. Maybe it's in a form of monetary money, or more times than not, it's in the forms of other things. So are you protecting yourself? Are you protecting the house? And are you being a giver? These two thoughts, these two topics here in chapter 18 are very important to us today and to our lives, even over 2,000, 3,000 years since it's been written. It's still valid and still true for us. So as Chris plays, I want to give you some time to reflect on that, some time to think about that. Are you protecting your house by knowing the Word of God so that you know what's counterfeit? And are you being a giver? Father God, we thank you for your word and the fact that it's so relevant to us today. And you've called us to protect one another. You've called us to protect ourselves from the things that are out there. I pray that we would know your word so that we would know the truth. And God, you've called us to be givers. I pray that we would be people who give with a happy heart. Know that we have a chance to give and then not be something we do begrudgingly. We thank you that you have given so much to us. In your name we pray. Amen.